Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Two days and two lawyers to find out what it means after you read the bill.
Yeah.
Who was that?
That was Congressman John Conyers.
Conyers.
Yeah.
Well,
that's post-election. I figured that would be one good way of starting out the show.
Well, that's a way of starting out the show, all right. That infuriates me. I mean, that's what his job is to do. I mean, in the first place, he has lawyers and he has people to read it because he has $1 million set aside for staff, and he uses it all, 900 and some odd thousand of it, by the way. And that's not counting his wages. I mean, we didn't replace him, huh?
I was just thinking of that. I'm looking it up now, and I'm just kind of curious when his term is up.
I recognize that voice, and I'm not at all impressed. That's the thing that we've got to do, and that was what I thought went on with this election, is that we're tired of people who were hired to do something and then get upset when they have to do it.
And yeah,
I'm really tired of that. You know, we have senators and we have representatives, and that's what their job is. Before they go and sign things or approve things, they should at least know what the things are.
I agree.
If it's a 2,000-page bill, then they need to take 2 days and sit down and pay attention and see where it is, and don't sign or approve anything until you do. And if it slows everybody down, fine.
Oh, I agree. Like you say, that's why they're called representatives, because they're supposed to read the bill.
We're long since we all already decided that they don't really represent us, but they should at least have some kind of integrity. I don't know what kind you'd have, but they don't seem to have any, and it's very upsetting to me.
Well, I get a kick out of, and unfortunately, the name kind of escapes me at the moment, but somebody that voted in favor of the bill, once they actually got to reading it, changed their mind abruptly, and it's like, well, dude.
The thing is, they've already voted.
Yeah, that's the sad thing about it, is that hopefully America kept in mind during this November 2nd election, those who do not take the time to do their job do not deserve to have the job.
I agree with that entirely. And then there's another step, too, because I'm really upset. I watched all of these speeches that Obama gave after the election, and I do not like that man at all. If I had any interest in or any dislike for him before, now I despise him, because he sat there during his speeches, and you could just tell by the look on his face, he was absolutely furious that people had the audacity to question him.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, he's done. If there was any way I could impeach him myself right now, I would. But I don't think that's going to happen. But we do have to see to it that he isn't elected again.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I'm afraid that because I did vote for him. And when I voted for him, I said to myself and to others, you know, what can he do? He can't screw everything up in 4 years. Well, wrong. He tried real hard to screw everything up in 4 years. He tried to screw it up in the first 2 years. And he really has gotten a real good head start at it. And I'm real upset about that.
Well, I was trying to find the audio real quick, which is kind of hard to do live. But remember he was saying, the American people should be thanking me. You know, he's not listening when it came to...
Well, he got up there and said, well, you know, he says, I'm aware that I told everybody I wouldn't allow any pork on any of these bills. And he said, you know, we're so in such a hurry and everything had to be done so fast that he did sign bills with pork. And I'm sorry, I think his health bill is 50% earmarks. I mean, there's too many things on there. I don't even know if he read the bill.
I think, in a way, didn't he kind of admit that he didn't?
I don't know. But I know he did admit that he went ahead and voted for earmarks and allowed them on there. And, you know, that was one of the biggest things that he was running on when he was voted in. It was the fact that that was something that had to be changed. And then he went ahead and ignored it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just ridiculous. And then he gets upset because the people have the audacity to call him on it.
Yeah.
Well, and you could... Not paying attention, not paying total attention to just the words. Watch, if you see him, a rerun of that speech that he gave, he look at his face and look at the way he acted. You could tell he was just very upset because it didn't all go his way. And I don't think he's going to cooperate with anybody at this point. I think he's going to try to figure out just how the hell he can convince them to change their minds and go to his side. And that's what he's going to spend the next 2 years doing, is to try to, try to direct what's going on so that it's his way.
Okay, I think I have an audio.
I've been a little amused over the last couple of days where people have been having these rallies about tax. You would think they would be saying thank you. That's what you'd think.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know why. I tell you. You know, it's so ridiculous. Again, I get back to what I was talking about last week, and none of these things that we're doing is going to make enough of an impact to change things. The way we've got to do it is we've got to make a 10% across the board cut, and if it's in salaries, then it's above anybody making over $40,000, because if $40,000 in this day and age, it's about a minimum to really have a decent living. But if you're making over $40,000, it wouldn't hurt anybody to take a 10% cut. That's $4,000 a year. That's $40 a month, or just a little under. And everybody nobody would miss that. I mean,
Well, they got to do something. I mean, just like locally here in Eugene with the 4J school district. Was the thing about closing down 4 schools, I believe?
Yeah, see, that's ridiculous. They're holding us for ransom. They're holding the education system for ransom. And they're I can't believe that we allow them to do that, because that's hurting our kids. And how we can allow that to happen, I don't know.
What gets me here is, I'm, pardon the paper rattling in the background, is I'm pulling out my property taxes right here, and I'm looking at how much money goes to the different places.
Yeah.
And schools are the number one, as far as percentage-wise, where most of the money goes to.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, like law enforcement and everything has a very small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But
and what are the cuts first thing? Jails and law enforcement?
Exactly, exactly. And there are some things in here, like I would have voted no on, like Lane Community College, but I have a dog in the fight on that one.
Well, that's true.
But, because I've already donated too much.
The thing to do is to look up what wages are, how much the professors at Lane Community College are making. A great many of them are making over $75,000 to $100,000 a year. A whole lot of them. Not just a few, but a whole lot of them. And that's a community college, folks. That's where we're supposed to have the inexpensive education. And that isn't happening anymore.
Well, I'll tell you something. Now, this is what one of the instructors told me. Because I asked him one time, is why is it when you take a 1 and 2 credit class, 4 credits being a full term, 12 credits being full term, but anyways, they break it down to classes, 4 credits max. Why is it a 1 and 2 credit class gives you more work than a 4 credit class? And they said, this instructor told me, is because we get, the people that have tenure here get paid by how many credits they teach. And so if you are teaching a 4 credit class, then you're going to get more money than somebody teaching a 1 or 2 credit class. So what we try to do is we'll load you down with a bunch of ridiculous work, hoping that you will complain and they'll increase how many credits that class is and therefore increase their salary.
Well,
and that came from one of the, like I say, one of the instructors there.
It was totally
ridiculous because, you know, when you're looking at time-wise and you got a 1-2 credit class that's sucking up all of your available time that you have for your assignments over stupid stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I asked him one day, you know, why is that?
Well, we've got to make some major changes in our colleges, in the community colleges, because they're supposed to be the inexpensive way to get an education, and it's $20,000 a year to go to a community college nowadays. And not, you know, granted, it's $50,000 to go to a private college, but a private college can do anything they want to, absolutely anything they want to, because they are a private college.
Well, and there's no, okay, like for example, and I don't want to stay on colleges here for too long. I went to, I went to Lane Community College, which by the time I pay off my student loan is $33,000, and you saw where that got me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also went to IITR Truck Driving School,
mm-hmm,
out there in Creswell.
Yeah.
And they have to keep their accreditation depends on how many successful students that they have that get work.
Yeah.
They just can't pass them through and expect to keep their accreditation.
And the community college can.
Exactly. There is no oversight committee, per se, even to say that the same courses are teaching the same things.
And need you need to look up, and or I don't know if you put out this, or, but it's got to be someplace, is how many hours the instructors at one of these colleges, these ITRs or whatever they are, how many hours they work, the instructors, and then go and find out how many actual hours the professors at the Lane Community College work. You know, they may teach 4 classes, but they don't spend a lot of time in the school doing it. They, you know, I looked it up, and I don't have it in front of me, but there are a lot of instructors, a lot of professors that only spend 10 hours a week actually doing their job. The rest of it's all anything they want.
Well, I will tell you one thing, though. Compared to Lane Community College and the University of Oregon, I'm going to refer to like the trigonometry math class that I had. When I went to the U of O, I believe it was 105 or 115 or something like that. I can't remember the exact number. Anyways, who was teaching the class at the University of Oregon was a GTF, which is, I believe, a general teacher's assistant or something like that. Anyways, it's a college kid. Still in college, is teaching the math class.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's not getting the pay.
He's not getting the pay. But if you go back to Lane Community College, and this is one thing I will give them kudos on, that math instructor has a minimum of a master's degree. Go to the university, it's a kid. Lane Community, it's somebody
that's
from school.
Yeah, but see, they don't count the kid. They don't count the kid. He's not teaching.
He's instructing the class.
He may be, but he's an assistant, so it's the professor who's taking the credit.
This kid was teaching the class.
Well, I'll bet if you looked up, there'd be somebody with a degree in there.
This GTF is the one that was teaching the trig class over there.
Well, I hope he made a lot of money.
Well, like I said, for what you're paying per term at the University of Oregon versus Lane Community College, I went back to Lane and got real instruction. In fact, based on my brief experience, and like I said, I don't want to stay on education too long because I can do a whole show on that, I couldn't get out of the U of O fast enough.
Wow, that figures.
But I know. As people who follow me on my blog, I did not have a very good educational experience. In fact, if I could do it over again, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And especially because the only thing I got out of it is $33,000 in debt.
Yeah, that's the ridiculous part. And they hound you with that, too.
Oh, they do. And also when they say Lane's slogan is "We Change Lives." Yeah, I was a technician before I went in there. I'm a truck driver now, so.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. But like I say, I don't want to say too much on this because I can rattle on for days about that.
Yeah, we'll do that another time when we've prepared for it. But yeah, it is rather disturbing and rather. I really understand that our educational system in this country is falling apart, and the private colleges. See now, University of Oregon isn't a private college, is it?
I don't think it is. Well, I'm not really sure. But anyway, speaking real quick here, speaking of falling apart, assuming that we have somebody listening to us, how would they get a hold of us?
Well, they could probably do it by calling us on the phone at 646-721-9887. That would be the logical move. 646-721-9887. Or they could email us. What's our email address?
talk@krbnradio.com.
Okay.
You can email us anytime. We love to get emails. Send us lots of emails.
Yeah, you can even email us before the show and ask questions or even suggest topics because we're not stuck with our own topics. We'll talk about anything.
That's
anything.
Right. And by the way, you can stop sending me emails about Viagra. It won't work.
Okay.
As they say, you have to have the tools to do the job.
Almost anything.
But we won't go there. And the chat room is open right now if you'd like to join us in the chat room. And always happy to have you there, too. And if you
Can they ask questions in the chat room?
They can, unless you're logged in as a guest. Then, unfortunately, the way Blog Talk is set up, all you can do is just kind of watch what's going on and which I hope that they will change one of these days.
But it doesn't cost anything to join.
It does not cost anything to join. You don't have to give a lot of information. You just go in there or get yourself a username, and you can participate.
That would be nice if we had a bunch of people asking questions in the chat room because that would be almost as good as being on the phone, but not totally. I like to cuss and discuss, and so it's much more fun to do it in person on the telephone if you wish.
And again, I also would like our listeners, especially our listeners who are listening on the archives, please send us a quick note either on the comments section on the main show page or, again, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. Let us know what time and what day that you normally listen to Blog Talk, any shows at all. So we can better, we're trying this new time here at 10 a.m. Friday Pacific time, a.m. And that's mainly because of my job schedule, but we are flexible and we want to schedule our time which better goes along with our listening audience. We do have a pretty good numbers on our downloads. You know, we definitely appreciate that. That's one of the reasons why we keep coming back. And besides that, we have fun doing this.
Yeah.
And Cliff is how many years in radio?
Oh, God. Well, I got my first job in 1960.
1960 in radio. And so, you know, trying to get Cliff off the horse doesn't work very good. So,
no.
So yeah, we're having lots of fun doing it, and we can talk about anything and everything. But, yeah, we'd love your participation. Give us a call, 646-721-9887. When you do call, you can listen to the show, by the way, on the phone. And when you decide to participate, just push the number one key on your touchtone telephone, and it'll come up on my board with your phone number and area code, and I will say area code such and such. Welcome to the show, and that's how you participate. Very easy. If you never called a talk show before, this is a good way to start out. Don't be nervous, just because people listen to you worldwide.
Yeah, all over the place, all over the place.
All over the place.
Anyway, so did you vote?
Did I vote? Yeah, I voted. And unfortunately, nobody that I wanted won.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I found out, because, you know, I know that.
Made you go bye-bye? I think Cliff might have gone bye-bye.
Got into who was running.
There he is. You're back.
Oh, did I go away?
You went away again.
No, too.
You haven't went away for a long time now.
Yeah, really. But anyway, when I looked and started looking up to see who.
And he went bye-bye again. Pregnant pause here. In the past.
You know.
There you are. Well, you're trying to come back. In the past, folks, the Cliff is actually in Cottage Grove, and I don't know if you can still hear me or not, but we've had trouble with the city of Cottage Grove's internet system, and that's what Cliff is on, and sometimes it'll switch IP addresses, which really messes up Skype, because we're actually in two different cities, even though it doesn't really sound like it, but we're actually in two different cities doing this program.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I'm not missing you at all. It's just cutting out on me for some reason. Hmm. Who knows why?
But anyways, the elections didn't go the way I wanted it to go. It was a close race between Kitzhomer and Dudley. And, you know, for a couple of days there, I thought Dudley was actually going to make it. But somehow Kitzhomer took the lead. You know, it's like a horse race, you know. Kitzhomer around the power band followed by Dudley, and Dudley coming up in the lead with Kitzhomer.
Well, according to the official election website, Lane County Elections, Kitzhomer pulled away quite a ways away. It's 56% for Kitzhomer and 40% for Dudley. So,
yeah,
they finally got things figured out or something, because it's quite different. I thought it was really, really close myself, but that number, this is it. Official results as of 5 p.m. on 11/4 of 2010. So I was kind of surprised at that. I had no doubt about Dudley, but it'll be.
And you went bye-bye again. Anyways, I was just looking up here if I could find it, the voter turnout for the elections, and because I'm looking at the same thing that Cliff is looking at, and we can
go to the bottom. Go to the bottom of the page, I think.
Go to the bottom of the page, and it says.
Let's see here.
Because I'm just concerned. I'm just curious about how many registered voters, what percentage actually voted.
Well, that's what it says by percentage over there behind every one of them. I think. I don't know. I saw somewhere on here. Okay, registered voters total is 205,000. That's all there is. That's all the registered voters out of 3 million population. There's only 205,000 registered voters. And in this particular election, only 134,000 of them actually cast a vote or filled out a ballot. So it's only 65% of the registered voters, which is only like 10% or 15% of the entire population. So it's pretty crummy.
That is pretty crummy.
I mean,
especially when you talk about, you know, one of the great things about living in the United States is, you know, the fact that we have at least some small way to say our opinion.
Yeah. But then you go first one down here, United States Senator, vote for one. Ron Wyden, who won, only got 81,180 votes. Now, 81,000 out of 3 million is just ridiculous.
Right.
Absolutely ridiculous. Now, you know, I don't expect every person to vote because some of them are kids and things like that, because that's total population. But it's just a very anemic number, and I'm really sad to see it going on. But it's not just here. It's not just here. It's everywhere in the United States that does that. And the off-season election is even worse than the main election next 2 years from now.
Well, and speaking of voting, now this brought up on Lars Larson's show, I believe, 2 days ago. And if you go to the state elections website and look under what the requirements are to register to vote, it basically confirmed what Lars was saying, and I was shocked.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with this thing about you have to be a U.S. citizen to even qualify to vote, you would think that, well, there would be some verification that you're a U.S. citizen, you know. But here, this is from their website. This is the actual, this comes off the actual form. New laws require that people must provide identification information to register to vote. Okay, fine. If you have a current valid Oregon DMV license, permit, or ID, you must provide that number. If you do not, well, okay, then you can provide the last four digits of your Social Security number. If you do not, by the way, have an Oregon DMV driver's license, permit, ID, or Social Security number, you must affirm this by marking the boxes. And if you are registering by mail, you must provide a copy of one of the following: a valid photo identification, a utility bill, a government document, a pay stub, a bank statement, or proof of eligibility under the Uniform and Overseas Citizens Absentee.
And of course, you have to be a citizen to pay your electric bill.
Of course, but it says it's just one, a copy of one of the following. A utility bill does not say that you're a citizen.
Nope.
A pay stub does not say you're a citizen. A bank statement does not say you're a citizen. A government document, it could be your deportation papers, does not prove that you're and all of this allows you to vote. Now, Lars called the registrar's office in Multnomah County and asked them about this, and they said that unless you have the photo ID, you're allowed to – if you have the photo ID, you can vote in the presidential elections. If you don't, then you can only vote on local issues, including the governor's race.
So you don't have to be a citizen.
You don't have to be a citizen to vote in Oregon, is what you're saying.
Who knows? You know, it's a little – I wonder how many illegal immigrants we have in the state of Oregon, and how – of course, nobody's going to admit to that, so how do you know for sure? But there must be some way of finding out. And
well, Lars was, during the interview, of course, Lars was some of the interview, he didn't play it over the air. He said that in Multnomah County alone, that there was over 3,000 that registered without proof of citizenship.
Well, I was going to say that that's not a lot, but when you start looking at percentage-wise of the total amount of people that voted, 134,000, that is a big percentage.
Yeah.
And So then consequently, well, I hate to say this, but in the big picture of all the things that we are screwing up with as a nation, that isn't enough to worry about. We have got so many other problems as a country to worry about that are much more important than that. For one thing, we're broke.
Yeah.
I mean, we are more than broke. We are, and of course, we are so in debt to China that they aren't going to loan us any more money. And who else do we go after?
Well, and can you believe we actually borrowed money from China? Or borrowed money from anybody, for that matter, as much money as we give away overseas and we're borrowing?
Well, we're borrowing money from China to give to Afghanistan. I mean, we are borrowing money from one to give to another. It makes no sense. We don't take care of ourselves first. And I think every other country in the world does that, but not the United States. Somewhere along the line, somebody's decided we should be so philanthropic as to give away our money and to that we want to be loved by everyone so bad that we'll give them anything they want.
Well, riddle me this, Batman. Okay. I go and apply for a loan. Okay, like say.
Oh, we don't give it to you. You're a citizen.
I know, but just follow me with this. Yeah, okay. Like, for example, I own a home. Well, the bank owns a home. Okay, I had to put up, or even as a business, I have to put up something as collateral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm a nation, and I go, hey, yeah, I want to go and apply for a loan for my country. Well, sure, Mr. Obama. Let's see, what do you got for collateral? Well, I see your credit rating is a little low here, and so we're going to need some assurance that we're going to get paid back. What happens if we default?
That's what happens if we default is when we declare bankruptcy, and I don't know what would happen if the United States declared bankruptcy. We're already every country in the world is linked to the United States economy. Every country in the world's money is based on how much our money is worth, and we're already screwing up most of the countries because we're allowing our money to be devalued by a long ways. So if we are to default on some country or countries, then our dollar is going to be worth virtually nothing, and that's going to affect everybody in the world, absolutely everyone.
Okay, let me throw this one out there. When you're dealing with countries, the laws are different.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, just like, you know, like say if there's some spammer from, I don't know, Jamaica, and he takes, convinces you to give money away, there's nothing you can do because he's in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if the U.S. declares bankruptcy, that's all good and well, but what, maybe China doesn't accept the bankruptcy ruling from another country.
Well, the recourse that they have is pretty major because, again, okay, we've got billions and billions of dollars worth of factories and things in China that are American owned. And if the United States defaults on that loan that China has given us and all the money, they're just going to nationalize all those companies. And so the whole country is going to feel it real hard. I mean, what our federal government does ultimately affect every business and every citizen. And so it'll make a huge difference. I don't know how much because it's just hard to tell. But you can believe that we're in a world of hurt if we default on any of those loans.
Exactly. And like you said, Grant, I've never taken economics, but I would think that for my own situation, if I'm struggling to pay my bills, the last thing I'm going to do is go borrow money from somebody to give it away to somebody else.
Except that, you need to take a look at General Motors. if you want to really learn about how the federal government is doing this. General Motors, as you know, we bailed General Motors out to the tune of, what, $60 billion or something like that.
Right.
And so that meant that the United States owned about 60% of General Motors. We owned the majority of General Motors. General Motors went ahead then and borrowed money from the United States from a different bank account or something, and paid off that original loan. So they made a big thing about it. They went online and everywhere and told everybody they paid it off, but they didn't. They borrowed it from one pocket to pay off the other pocket. And so we still own the company. And just recently, in the last few days, we gave them another $49 billion. And on top of all of this, so we never win. We never lose. We never learn. That's why we've got to change who's in Washington, D.C.
I agree. Well, I think this last election kind of sent a message, you know, like Obama saying, I hope we'll compromise, you know, and he's pretty disappointed, and he's putting his foot down, saying that, you know, he's going to fight to keep the health care bill is whatever.
But see, that's what I'm saying. I watched that speech, and I don't think he's learned anything except that he's got to figure out different ways of getting his own way. I don't think he's at all convinced that he has to change anything. That's just like when he kept saying, we want cooperation across the board. We want the Republicans to agree with us. But that's exactly what he meant. He wanted them to agree with him, not to give ideas or philosophies, but if we didn't agree with us, then they're not cooperating. And that's exactly how he feels about it. Cooperating is to go along with what I say. Well, that's not cooperating.
It's my ball. If you don't play my way, I'm going to take it and go home.
Well, even if he could say that, but he can't take it and go home. He's committing all of us to it. So we've got to get rid of him. I mean, look at what we've done. Did you know that 3 days ago, while we were sitting here, the federal government dumped another $600 billion into the economy? Another stimulus payment, $600 billion that the Fed turned loose with, and then a day after that, another $400 billion. That's just in the last week.
You know, if the Fed really wants to help things, like you're saying, the 10% across the board, how about this? And it's very simple, and there's been a lot of people suggesting this. Cut taxes, cut payroll taxes. Put the money back in the hands of the people, and it will get the money circulating, which will in turn generate more business and generate more revenue for the government.
There's one little problem with that right now. The federal government is so screwed up, and has changed things so often that there's no confidence. So the businesses are not going to turn that money back over and invest in rebuilding their business or adding to their business. Because they don't know what's going to happen next week.
That's true. Speaking of, let me go ahead and take a quick pause here. We've got 21 minutes left in this show. As the time goes flying, 646-721-9887 if you'd like to join us with your comments. And let us know if your candidate got elected or not, or how you felt about the elections. And also, we're going to get in here probably a quarter of 15 tell about the other topic, which is the new security regulations, if you happen to be a flyer.
Oh, yes. You know, I've decided that I'm probably never going to go. Well, for one thing, I can't fly. I can't go on an airplane. I just had surgery, and if I couldn't get through the
You've been augmented.
Yeah, I have metal inside of me, and without it, I fall apart. So, so, consequently, I can't go through those machines anymore. I can't be scanned. And this is, you know, they've used stainless steel to hold my ribs together and things, my whole center part. And so you can't feel it in there either. You know, you're saying that they can pat you down. Well, they can pat me down all they want to, but they won't feel it. But if I go through one of those scanner things, it's definitely going to catch it. So I don't know what I can do. I don't know how I can fly. I'm not going to. I'm not interested in it.
And on a side note, one of the guys at work, his wife just went through a similar operation that you did, a quadruple bypass. And she was in the hospital, I think, for 2 weeks. And when she got out, she went shopping. With drain still hanging from her, she went shopping.
What?
Like, girl, you just had your chest ripped open, metal stuck in there, people playing around sewing you up, and you're going shopping.
Really? That's a diehard shopper. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you're half right. It's going to be diehard.
Or just plain die. But that is ridiculous. I didn't feel good enough to go shopping within 2 weeks after I got out. But that's another story. I'm still recuperating, and I'm still not going shopping, at least not. Well, I've gone shopping, grocery shopping and things like that, but I guess I'm not much of a shopper anyway. But it's a little different.
Well, anyway, since we're kind of getting off the politics thing, is there anything you want to add before we switch topics here?
I thought we just did, more or less.
The new TSA rules, Transportation Safety Administration, or Security Administration, whatever they're called now, Transportation Security Administration, has a new tool, and it's called it's flying through my notes here, the Backscatter Body Scanner. Say that three times fast.
No.
Which, you're saying no, you're the one that can do the rubber baby buggy bug first. Anyway.
<Nope. laughs>
Anyways, what this scanner does is it literally sees through your clothes, and it's one of the new tools that the TSA is putting at the airports to thwart anybody with weapons on them. And this can actually see right down to, you know, your breast and genitalia area, and hopefully that the screen is not out there, you know, rebroadcasting on the big screen, which might either be entertaining or disgusting, depending on your point of view. Anyways, but the whole point of it is that, you know, because it can see underneath clothes, it can find any hidden devices. However, like Cliff was just saying, if you either know you're going to set off these devices or you're a little shy, there is the old-fashioned way, but they changed the requirements for the pat-down. In fact, it's called the nut-busting pat-downs. And I'm chuckling here because as I'm reading the article itself, and there is a link to this article on our main show page if you'd like to see it. Basically, what they're going to do, and they start at your feet. They work your way up until they meet resistance, literally. And then they make sure that you're anatomically correct, is what they're one thing that they're not really purposely feeling to make sure that you are, but to make sure you're not hiding anything down there. So they go up until they find something. So if you got any body parts you want to hide, well, so much for that. And they keep going all the way up. So basically they're going to, or they call it, the dick measuring device over molestation.
Over? That's not over molestation. It is.
It is molestation. So.
But maybe a lot of people, that might be fun.
That's what it's saying. You know, if you want to go and get roped by a professional legally, go fly on a plane. But like I said, it kind of gives new meaning to the friendly skies, you know.
Yeah, really, really.
But the question is, though, in fact, even like in the article here, it's saying that if somebody's child got touched like that, they'd sue them for, child abuse. Or whatever the thing is, but, you know, don't touch.
So this is just legal child abuse.
Right, legal child abuse. As one person says here, the new TSA pat down would be sexual assault anywhere else after her underwire brawl set off the alarm. The CNN's Rosemary Fitzpatrick was reduced to tears when subject to the pat down. She says, "I felt helpless, I felt violated, I felt humiliated." And this came from networkworld.com.
Well, I think that's ridiculous. She shouldn't feel that way in the first place. And if she's going to fly, she's going to be prepared to do that. And I understand in her business, she does a lot of flying. But I think we're getting way too carried away. There's no way in hell that's actually going to stop something from happening. If we want to get a knife in or some sort of a weapon like that in, they'll make them so that they fit right up against your skin or are not noticeable or something. They're, you know, for every time we come up with a system to find it, they're going to find a system to hide it. And it's just going to keep on.
And people like me, we've got two places to hide them down there.
Yeah.
You can fill in the blanks on that one. But
I'm not going to. I have no reason to hide anything, so I don't care what they do. But the whole thing goes to the fact that regardless what they find or don't find, it isn't going to stop anything. It isn't going to change anything. I don't think we need to do that. We don't need to get that carried away. The little machine that you walk through is quite sufficient, and I don't even know if we need that.
Because it's like the old adage about locking the barn after the horse got out.
Well, that's true.
But you did that on purpose, and you didn't want the horse back. But, you know, every time we increase our security is always after the fact.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we're going to get to the simplest is we're not going to be able to fly at all. We're going to have to either stop flying or we're going to have to stop this insane invasion of privacy.
Yeah, because the only thing left after this is a cavity search.
Yeah.
It's like if they're going to do that, they might as well give you a discount on your yearly exam while they're doing it. Kill two birds, so to speak.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to fly to New York today. By the way, I'm going to take my prescriptions with me because, I'll go get an exam and, that's right. Ma'am, whoever, let me check. Okay, yes, sir. yes, you are not carrying any weapons, and I would go get that taken a look at because your doctor didn't wear.
Yeah. No, it's. I just don't think it's helping us. I don't think it's deterring anything. I think it's just a real waste of time that we could save a huge amount of money by not doing this kind of stuff and save that money and use it on maybe guards or armed guards or something on the airplane to ride with us. There's other ways of doing this that keep us just as safe, I believe. What are other countries doing? I mean, are the other countries going along with this insanity? I mean,
well, I think that other countries, now I don't know this for a fact, but, I mean, there are federal marshals that do fly on the airplanes. I don't know if they're obvious or not. Other countries probably just have some guy with a machine gun saying, go for it, bud. Give me a reason.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I wanted a machine gun on every airplane because that could be a problem, too. You don't dare use them because making holes in airplanes is not prudent at all.
No. But the question comes down to is how much of your freedom are you willing to give up for the illusion of safety?
But see, that's the point. It's no longer even an illusion of safety. With these packages that just came in this last week, they weren't attached to people. And so what did we accomplish? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We've had a few cases. The guy whose shoes were supposed to catch on fire and burn the plane up or something like that, that didn't work. And any kind of things that whatever you come up with, they're going to come up with another way around it. And if we just spend our money doing more logical things, I'd way of handling it, what we're doing. Right. And it's way too expensive. But I can see why it's why they're doing it, because there are companies making huge amounts of money.
Well, perhaps one thing, okay, like with the Twin Towers, for example, you know, the terrorists took over the pilots, obviously, and the planes were therefore directed to hit their target. I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, but if they could remotely have taken over those planes, but then again, then they have to know that the planes have been hijacked too. But I suppose you could tell if you're off course that something's wrong, because every aircraft has to file a flight plan.
Yeah, and I don't know how you'd be able to remotely take over. You'd actually have to be able to get into the airplanes before they take off and install equipment and so on and so forth. I don't think that's a possibility. The possibility is still always just them taking over the cockpit and flying the airplane themselves. And that's not going to be easy. I don't think that's something that's going to happen. I mean, there are ways of keeping that from happening. Have thicker doors and better locks and things like that. But the point is also, as I say, we need to have air cops on the airplane.
If you're a pilot, and even if you have a door separating the cabin from the rest of the aircraft that's as thick as a bank vault, and the guy gets on the intercom and says, you know, either you unlock this door or I'm going to kill everybody in this room, I don't think it would matter unless you really got gonads to just say, fine, go for it. I'm not changing this plane.
Well, think about that. You have to have that, because if he's going to kill everybody in the room, that's what he's going to do when he gets the door open anyway.
Yeah.
Now, if he's going to fly it into a building or something of that sort, he's going to kill everybody in the room anyway. So you don't even consider it.
Of course, one easy way to do is just go, okay, fine, evacuate the air. That takes care of that problem.
Evacuate the air?
Well, yeah, most aircraft are pressurized.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
Then you're the one that's getting rid of the entire population.
Knock them out and go take care of them, unless they happen to have some type of breathing device on it.
Well, sure they would.
It's hard to say.
And besides, as soon as the oxygen level goes down in the cockpit, those little things fall down and anybody can breathe them. So I don't know. Nobody's going to. We just call her bluff, and that's all you can do. I think we're overreacting. I mean, how many times has this happened on an airline? It hasn't happened very often. And if you look at I just don't think we're going at this the right way. We're getting too carried away and panicking.
Maybe like that one flight that didn't make its target. And that was because the passengers took action.
See, that's another thing. I'm thinking that an awful lot of cases like that would happen nowadays. People are not going to let them take over the airplane.
So let us bring weapons on board. And like, okay, hey, mommy, somebody's wanting to take over the plane. All right, get the gun. You want to get the gun out?
Well, hang up. Again. You got to be really careful. You can't just go shooting guns off in an airplane, because you make holes in it, and airplanes can't stand having holes in them. So you got to be really careful about that. But, you know, there are ways of stopping these people without shooting them.
Okay. We'll use electricity.
Well, okay, tasers.
It's fun and it makes people look funny.
Yeah, it would be a very good way of doing things. It depends on how many people you're trying to overcome. You know, how many people do they have on board trying to take over the airplane? Usually they only have one or two. If they have a whole bunch of them, then that's going to be a little harder. We've got to just have faith.
Here's your solution. We got 5 minutes remaining in the show, 646-721-9887. Okay, here's your solution. We redesign the planes. Each plane has a separate cargo hold in it. And so you get one section that gives you a problem, you just hit the release.
But how do you know they're going to be in the cargo hold?
Oh, no, each passenger compartment is divided up into sections. Each section is allowed to separate from the plane.
Okay.
So somebody over there in section A is giving you problems. Okay, just seal it off and pull a button.
Well, and we're getting a little carried away. So all of these things, you've got to remember, too, airplanes are weight sensitive. You start putting all this stuff in there, and it's going to make the airplane weigh a lot. I was just thinking of that when you were talking about a foot-thick vault door into the the pilot's cabin. That's going to add an awful lot of weight to an airplane, and there are some limitations as to what you can do. I just think the simple fact is putting a cop on board, and you only need one. If he can't handle it, then you go along with it, and the chances of anything happen are very low.
Yeah. By the way, I want to bring up something real quick. We got 3 minutes left in the show. I've been working on the KRBN Facebook page.
Okay.
And a couple things. And if anybody has an answer to this one, please send me an email, talk@krbn.com. When you set up a business page, since the Facebook business page is not searchable, how do you direct somebody to the site? If you can answer me that, please send me that. And because also I'm going to go against the grain here. I know that social networks are really important, especially for business, you know, like Twitter and Facebook. But I find them extremely boring.
Well, you know, I'm not sure how important they are either. At least the whole idea is, see, I've often sat down and tried to figure out why they help you. They only help you if you go on there and contact everybody that you can think of or everybody that Facebook, because see, Facebook makes friends for you, and those are the people that you contact. And so unless you go on and use that, I don't think it helps you. I don't see the big benefit from it all. Yes, please.
Somebody did suggest us having a Facebook page, and if you're listening to the archives or are listening now, if you would like to see a KRBN Facebook page, drop us a note, talk@krbnradio.com, and
tell us how and why.
Tell us how and why, or just tell us that you like the idea. And,
sure.
We'll put a little bit more effort.
But any help we can get as to how and why would be nice, too.
Exactly, especially how to get to it directly, which I'm still trying to figure out in my limited time.
Yeah, it's hard to. At least it's a name that not everybody's going to have, KRBN Radio.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, in the last minute, do you have any closing thoughts?
It's been a kind of an interesting show. I think this whole we need to reconsider our whole air business. The whole thing about air travel, I think, needs to be reconsidered. Because we've actually, it's getting too expensive. It's getting too carried away. There's a lot of. I think we've got to figure out another way of transportation. Although I don't know how you do it across the oceans, you almost have to fly.
That's true. It does get
takes too long to get there in a boat.
Yeah,
might be a lot more fun, but it takes too long to get there. So, but we do need to give up on this business being paranoid.
Great.
That's what it is. So
I definitely agree with you on that. Anyways, until we do it again next week, 10 a.m. Pacific time. And don't forget to set your clocks back, by the way, people.
Oh, yeah.
That's this Sunday, I believe, 2 a.m. Until next week. Bye-bye.
To check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.